take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I mean, they always have a big mouth, they always talk a lot, so it happened before, it's gonna happen again.
This week's fan guest is a friend of mine living in Prague, Czech Republic, whom I met per chance at a tennis tournament over 10 years ago during my European red clay debut in Prague. That clay experience wasn't exactly a highlight for me, but it did prove two things. Most Americans struggle on clay, and that tennis can truly bring together people from around the world that you would have never met otherwise. As a sports journalist and writer, he started his own show on Czech CNN, interviewing and telling stories of successful people from his home country. So today won't be much different as we get to interview one of his very good friends and a person that has helped to keep the legacy of Czech women's tennis alive. It's my good friend, Martin Marvec. Ahoy, Martin.
Ahoy. Hi. It's nice to see you after all those years.
So long. Welcome to the show. It's very good to see you.
Thank you.
How do you say friend in Czech? Is it přítel?
Přítel, kamarád. It's pretty difficult.
Oh, yeah. Can we just say přítel?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just, like, that's like a little...
Okay.
Anyone that can watch me slide and fall as much as I did on red clay is definitely my přítel.
Yeah, you were struggling. I remembered it.
It was, yeah, most Americans, we struggle on the red clay. It's not our surface. I want to thank you 10 years later for still being my friend after that. So you have a kind soul. But speaking of kind soul, I want to bring your very good friend and our special guest out today. She's one of the nicest players to have ever played the game of tennis. I'm so excited to talk to her about her career. Let's bring her out. On August 21st, 2017, our player guest accomplished what every young kid starting out in tennis dreams of doing. She became the 35th player in the Open era to become the number one doubles player in the world. So amazing. Born in Brno, Czech Republic, she would turn pro in 2002 and quickly show the tennis world what her lefty all-court game was capable of. She'd win her first of seven WTA singles titles on her favorite surface, the red clay, at an event in Portugal against another legend, Lina. But it would be the red clay of Roland Garros that would truly make her mark on the tennis world. She would advance to not only the 2015 French Open final, but she'd also win the doubles title that year with her longtime partner, Bethany Maddox-Sands, sharing their iconic celebratory dances along the way. Talk about a dream 2 weeks, Martin, right? That's pretty awesome. She'd add another four for a total of five Grand Slam doubles victories throughout her remarkable career. And if that wasn't enough, she'd add five Fed Cup titles and a 2016 Olympic bronze medal to her trophy case. She may have won the bronze, but she's best known for her heart and smile of gold. And she's here today to share some of those amazing memories that helped make her such a fan favorite from over the years. Our guest today is the fantastic Lucia Šafářová. How'd I do? Okay. Lucy, ahoy.
Ahoy.
Welcome to Fantastic Tennis. Hello. It's so fantastic to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
I'll try not to mangle this so much. I'm really trying with the last name. You know, I know that was, how'd I do? Okay.
No? Pretty good. It was much better than Martin's.
Oh man, it was.
It was pretty Slovak, but.
And he prepped me too, and I still mangled that. So yeah.
How long did you practice? Admit it.
I have a very difficult last name. My last name is actually 18 letters long. It's Gurica Chevaria. So can you imagine if I was a tennis player, the commentators would have just murdered that name. So you got off easy.
That's why I went to make it simple.
Very simple. Thank you for leaving baby Leia with her dad today. I appreciate it. We can talk about your awesome career. Maybe she'll get to YouTube some of these matches we'll talk about one day. You know, I hope. How is Prague, you two? What's going on? It's been a very long year, hasn't it?
It's been, yeah, with the COVID restrictions, very difficult for everyone, I think. But Martin keeps working. He's a hard worker.
I actually played tennis today.
You did? Okay, that's good. That gives me hope. That gives me optimism that things are getting a little slowly back together. Okay, good.
He's improving the clay court game. You have to work through.
I will be back when things get back to normal a little bit. Lucy, I interviewed you about a year ago, so we're going to make this an annual tradition. This is almost 1 year ago we last saw each other. So before we jump into some of Lucy's amazing career, I'd like to start the pod today with my favorite way to start any service game. 15 and that's 15 Love. It's a super simple game. I'm going to throw 15 questions at you, Lucy, and you just respond as quickly as you can with the very first thing that pops into your head. Okay. Good luck to you. Yeah, absolutely.
I might need it. Martin, don't laugh. I already see him like with his.
So funny. I know. We're going to have to focus today. This is going to be fun. We got two good friends on the show today. This is going to be rowdy, guys. All right. Name the first professional tennis match you remember watching live or on television.
Wow. Might have been.
She's so slow.
I'm so Kim Clijsters, but I don't remember with who.
Okay. Kim's a good start. That's good. You remember Kim Clijsters. I like it. All right. We'll go with that. Number two, Lucy is a new mom to baby Leia, but now your former doubles partner, the amazing Barbara Strizova, has announced that she's going to have a baby as well. So I wondered, what's one piece of baby advice from one former number one to another?
Sleep until the part where you give birth, because then it's the end. You will never sleep for yourself.
Oh man, I love it. She's gonna be a great mom, right? She's so funny.
Very patient.
I want her in all those pictures with you and Andrea Havlatchkova. Like, I want this whole tennis mom photos when we're all done. Yeah. Okay. Number three, Lucy. Speaking of being a new mom, what is something your daughter is currently obsessed with?
Climbing, anything, and jumping down.
Remember that, Martin, when things were simple? It was just jumping up and down.
I still do it.
It's simple for her, but very difficult for me.
Difficult for me too. How do you feel about her playing tennis one day?
I mean, I hope she will play tennis for sure, for fun. But if it's something that she really loves to do, I would support her. But I also know how difficult it is to become pro. So it's a little bit mixed up feelings.
Yeah, she's going to have some big shoes to live up to. But there's lots of good future doubles partners available for her. Leo Azarenka is starting to play right now. That would be a great mixed partner for her, I feel like. Olympia Ohanian, one day I see them winning so many Grand Slams, maybe 5 or 6. I'm saying it right now. You need to get the partner early, Lucy.
Generation again out there.
Number four, we've been talking about Leia for a bit, but I wondered, when it's time for her to sit down and you have to explain to her what mommy did for a living and for a job, which match will you show her on YouTube?
Finals of Paris.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah, I mean, I'm proud still to this day. And this is a long time ago, right, Martin? That's a good one. Uncle Martin, is that what you're going to show her? Yeah?
Yeah, but she lost, you know. You you have to show her something.
Well, the trophy there at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Fair. I like where you're going, Martin. Maybe the Sharapova match. Maybe Ivanovic. Maybe one of those. Number five comes from a big fan of yours, Lucy. His name is Alan Andrew in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He says, you played with some of the best players in the world during your career, most notably Bethany Mattek Sands. But he wondered, besides Bethany, if you were ever going to make a doubles comeback, who on tour would you ask to play with?
Well, I always went to play with Kim Clijsters because I really loved her as a player. And also she's such a nice person. So that would be a fun one.
I love this match. This is all right. We're talking now. Another DM we have to send. Number six, Martin, this question's actually for you. As a very good friend of Lucy's for several years, what is something that most people don't know about Lucy Safarova?
Maybe that she's not that shy she looks like.
Oh, I'm feeling like there's a lot of stories that are going to come out today. So, all right, this is good. I like this tangent. Number seven, you had a lot of wins, huge wins in your career, which we're going to talk about today. Which do you consider is your very first big win on tour?
I think it will be the first WTA title, because that was like the breakthrough really for me. And, you know, the first title of the big event is always there in the memories.
Oh, so big. I mean, you even started, you were winning ITFs. You beat Eva Maioli, the French Open champion, like when you were a kid too. I mean, there's so many matches we could have said here. So amazing. All right. Number eight, Lucy, you were known for being one of the nicest players in the game, but can you remember a time when you broke character and you were the absolute maddest on the court? Is there a moment you can remember where you just like, maybe, you know, that shyness just went away? Like Martin said, you just kind of went crazy.
I don't remember.
No, didn't exist. No. Does not. I didn't think so. I was looking. I was like, no, I think it's no. I think this is going to be a very simple no. Number nine, Lucy, aside from your French Open final, you get one loss, singles or doubles, from your career to turn into a win instead. Which do you pick?
I know.
Ooh,
finals of Paris?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Which so the final, Martin.
The finals of Paris against Dementieva?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Serena.
You know which one I thought? The match against Lina in Australia. This match point, which was like 1 centimeter out on a match point, your match point, and she won the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great one.
It would be if I would have only like 1 point to change it, it would be this one.
Oh gosh, I rewatched that point this week and I was like, imagine what would have changed in the world if all these points, just little tiny, like fractions of a point. Oh gosh, man.
Isn't it amazing how the sport is like decided by such a small measures?
I know. Maybe I'll need to ask Martin this question too then. Fans loved Lucy's fight on a tennis court as she never gave up. So I wondered, Lucy, can you remember any match in your career where you saved match points and you came from behind? Is there any that you can just remember?
Yeah, Australia against Janina Wickmeyer. I think I hold the record of the new age.
You do. I'm so glad you said that one.
I was watching this like, it was in the morning, of course, night morning, lying on the couch. Was like, that's it. And 1 hour later, yeah.
I remember this great one against Caroline Garcia at Fed Cup one time as well. You saved like 5 match points.
Yeah.
Number 11, you were one of the very few people to say that you were the number one doubles player in the world. Can you give both Martin and I some free doubles advice?
Well, choose a good partner.
Whoa.
That's what I always do.
It's too late for us. Choose a good partner. Exactly. Oh, man. All right. Number 12. We all noticed that photo of you helping coach your friend Anastasia Pavluchenkova on Instagram. So it got me thinking, what an amazing coach you'd make one day. If you had to pick one current WTA or ATP player to coach, who would you pick?
That's a tough one.
Maybe Roger in his last couple of years. You just want to, let's just throw your hat in there. Serena, let's just, yeah, sure. Maybe Barbara and her comeback. That's good.
Well, Barbara's comeback would be fun.
I know, coaching Barbara would be very difficult though. I know. I mean, I love watching her, but that would be, I'd rather be in her fan box than her coach box. So.
But I think I'm pretty good with absorbing a lot of.
You have practice. All right. Number 13, Lucy, describe yourself off court in just one word.
Wow. That's for Martin question.
What do you think, Martin? Off court. You know the real Lucy. How is she not shy?
I would say saint.
Wow.
Oh my God.
What a friend. Look, we all knew. We all knew. And you're just making this come to life.
It's hard. To say about yourself. It's better if someone else.
It is St. Lucy. There's a new nickname for her today. St. Lucy's on the show today, everybody. Number 14 comes from a fan of yours in New York City, Austin Jung. He wants to know how Rocky is, your dog.
He's good. He's a little bit behind now because Leah is giving him tough time.
I thought you were going to say fat. He's a little bit fat now.
He has to be nice and, you know, pat him. But so far, she's more like all over him and he doesn't like that. But he's been really good because I was afraid, you know, dog and baby, you never know. And he's been very protective and very patient with her. So very
lovely. What kind of dog is it?
It's a beaver. So it's a half Yorkie and half Maltese.
Good old Rocky. Still kicking, everybody. So there you go. And finally, number 15, Lucy, you had a truly remarkable career. What do you hope that tennis fans will remember you for?
Just someone who they really enjoyed watching, had fun watching, and hopefully also as a nice person.
I think all those things, for sure. I definitely did. I think everyone loves you. They're going to love listening to this today. This is so exciting. Martin, maybe you learned a few things in that too. I don't know.
I did, of course. Yeah.
Martin, it's so good to see you again and good to chat. It's been a very long time. The last time I saw you, I said we were in Prague at a tennis tournament. You're a very good player, by the way, just so you know. I want everyone to hear that.
We had a match with Martin.
You did?
I was playing with Tom, with my boyfriend, and I was playing with Adam. We had a...
How'd it go?
Bad.
As well as you'd expect when you play Lucy Safarova.
Of course,
okay.
it was not my fault. So,
I don't get to see you often, but I do see your interviews on Czech CNN pop up, and I try to listen for a bit and try and pick up some of the Czech language. So, at least now today, I can say a little bit, like Pritali. You know, if you say some things, that I'll know exactly what you're talking about. How did you start your career in sports journalism?
Jesus, I was so bad myself to do any kind of sport, because my father was a soccer player, my brother was, and I just hated it. So I, to be with them, to spend time with them, so I started to write about their matches. And that's pretty much how it started.
And you cover tennis as well. Is that how you kind of...
Yeah, then I switched to tennis, yeah.
Can I hear the story of how you and Lucy became friends?
Well, I was actually thinking about it, and it's crazy. It's 18 or 19 years we met for the first time. It was definitely Wimbledon, because I knew Tomáš Berdych and she was dating him. And one day he introduced me this shy girl, and it was Lucy. And then we had some friendship going on, some school business and some work business. And yeah, it's 18 years.
Lucy, is that all true? I mean, is that the PG version? Is that, yeah? That's what tennis can do, everyone. You know, you meet somebody and then all of a sudden you're friends. Like, it's just something that bonds us. And I absolutely love it. And that's why I love today's show. Well, guys, I hate to break up something fun between two friends, but it's time to play a game and hear a little bit more about Lucy's amazing career. We're going to play a game called I 40 Love You. It's going to be Martin versus Lucy in a fan versus favorite tennis match trivia showdown all about Lucy's career and life.
Jesus, Martin, I don't remember anything.
All right, this is going to be fun for you today then. Martin, I'm going to ask you two questions about Lucy and her career. And then Lucy, I'm going to ask you two questions that test your own Memorova about your own years on tour. So if we happen to end up in a 2-2 tie, I'm going to give Martin the opportunity right now to be today's champ, but only if he can survive this first mini game. Otherwise, the tiebreak goes to Lucy. This first game is called True or False. We already know Martin is sitting courtside in Lucy's fan box, but does he get to keep his spot? We'll see after this. So good luck to you. Martin, I'm going to give you three statements about Lucy. If the statement is true, you just say true. If the statement is not correct, please firmly say fault in your best Wimbledon linesperson's voice. You'll need 2 out of 3 of these to win the tiebreak today. So good luck to you, my friend. Here's number one. Let's go. True or false? It's an Olympic year, so I thought we'd start with an Olympic-sized question for you. First question. At the 2016 Olympics in Rio, Lucy and her partner, new mama, Barbara Strýcová, upset the 2-time defending champions, Serena and Venus Williams, who had never lost an Olympic doubles match together as a team. Is that true or false?
Well, they definitely beat them in the first round, so I would say true.
Correct. Look, we're already starting off good. You get to keep your seat so far. Well done. Oh, man. Lucy, what an amazing moment. I mean, not only beating one of the best teams of all time in Serena and Venus, but also winning a medal for the Czech Republic. I can't imagine how that felt to be on the podium. You had to retire from singles because you weren't feeling well, but Barbara was on the show. She told us how hard you fought through doubles and you came through. What was that moment like for you playing doubles at the Olympics?
It was amazing. And the story is funny because until the last minute, we didn't know that we will actually play with Barbara. So,
and, were you supposed to play with someone else?
No, we just didn't know how they will set it up. Like it wasn't in our hands. So we didn't know who will be in the team and everything. So we became partners last minute, but obviously we played so many doubles throughout growing up. So we were happy about it. And then I got the stomach bug that I was feeling so sick for I would say 4 or 5 days. I had to retire the singles because I couldn't make it. It was too physically difficult. And I was feeling so bad before the match against Serena and Venus. And I was like, before the match, sitting there, and I was like, Barbara, I don't know if I can even finish that.
She said that.
Adrenaline on the court, and we were playing so well, and it happened. And then we were like, okay, well, we got the toughest one in the first round, so let's get this medal.
Absolutely. That's bronze medal match. You had to play your fellow Czech team, a good friend of yours, Andrej Havláčková and Lucy Hrdečka. On one hand, it's amazing for the Czech Republic because it's a medal that's coming your way. I mean, that's so amazing. But on the other hand, you have to have one of your good friends or yourself not win. But what do you remember from that match?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I mean, it's hard to, you know, if it would be probably in the semis, and then there would be still a chance for a medal for the others, that would be a little better, but one team has the medal, the other one doesn't. So it was ugly a little bit, but still we were super happy that it was us who got it.
Oh, of course. Where do you keep your medal?
I have it in the house in Brno.
We're in an Olympic year in Tokyo. Everyone loves these great matchups. So let's stay on the subject, Martin, of Team Czech Republic. Let's talk about the Czech dynasty and all of your Fed Cup titles from over the years. So, Martin, here's your second true or false question. True or false? The very first time Lucy played her longtime doubles partner, Bethany Maddox-Sands, was in a singles match at the 2009 Fed Cup rubber match in Lucy's hometown of Brno. Is that true or false?
I knew we played against America
a long time ago.
But was it 2009? I would say no, false.
You would have been fired as a Wimbledon Lions person if that's how you said it. Do you know, Lucy, is that true or false?
I honestly...
You don't know either. Look at this. She wouldn't have been much help if you asked her either. That's great. Yeah. That's actually true. The very first time you played Bethany, you played her in Fed Cup. You'd play Bethany a few times in your singles career.
Yeah, we played in Charleston again then.
This one I remember.
I mean, but the most iconic one was Wimbledon 2016. You had in the first round this 6-7, 7-6, 7-5. Was it difficult playing Bethany in singles when you guys were so close? Could you let it go afterwards?
I never liked playing friends, and especially such a good friend as Bethany. I hated to like face her in singles. And in a Grand Slam, it's like the worst we can get.
And then you have to jump on the doubles court with her right after. I mean, that's so awkward, right? I can't imagine how the Pliskova sisters or... I mean, Serena and Venus, all these years that they've been doing that.
Such a big matches, it must be difficult.
So much respect. Lucy, you'd play your very first Fed Cup in 2004 all the way until 2019. You were a proud member of the Czech team for a very long time. What's been a great Fed Cup memory for you from over the years that you can share?
Too many. There's so many. We could spend just like 1 hour talking about
Fed Cup. We could. What's the first thing? When I say Fed Cup, what's the very first thing that pops in your head?
Fun with the team. Like, we had such an amazing team. And I think that's the key of the success that we had. Because we always were so excited to join the team. And, you know, on and off the court, we had fun and amazing ties playing in front of amazing crowds. I remember against big crowds outside, like in Slovakia or in France. We had like such a big crowds against us. And then, of course, like playing the finals at home 14,000 people supporting you. I think those are like amazing feelings that you cannot get anywhere else, because around the world, the people are so divided. As you know, just in Fed Cup, you have everyone cheering for you on the court. It's special.
The Czech dynasty, I mean, still going strong. Your team is still strong today. Plus, you know, it's fun. You know, who wouldn't want to hang out with Barbara Streetsova at the bar? I absolutely would. 100%. I'm sure Petra Kvitova can also drink some beers. I don't know. I'm just picturing.
Parties after. There was a lot of dancing involved.
And lots of dancing. Yes, yes. That's, I've heard that story too. Check out the Barbara Streetsova episode. She tells some fun stories. I don't know what you consider your biggest Fed Cup victory was, but you had a huge win in 2014 against Angie Kerber to help your team capture the title in Prague. That must have been such a special moment for you as well. I mean, winning those big matches against big players in your hometown.
But actually, I would pick the one that against Serbia, I won against Jankovic to decide it, because the previous year, we were playing in Moscow against the Russian team, and I lost both of my matches. And the team won in the deciding doubles. And I felt like, oh my God, I didn't like bring the win at all. and then playing in Czech, I was pretty nervous that I don't want that to happen again. And the feeling when it actually happened and I was the one deciding was like the best memory.
Do they try and lift you up? I always picture like, you know, I love those moments where they just like, let's go. And you're like, don't touch me. No, I'm not going to go on your shoulder.
We're actually dancing with Andy, I think, after the match.
Good luck to the Czech team this year for Billie Jean King Cup now. I mean, it's back, so it's going to be fun to watch. Lucy, you've spent the majority of your career playing for your country. So let's stay in this groove, Martin, and we'll get to our last true or false in this question category. Let's talk about everyone's favorite team event, the Hopman Cup. Lucy played the Hopman Cup 3 different times in her career, but don't worry. We're only going to talk about the last time you played Hopman Cup. We won't talk about the first 2 times. In 2015, Lucy and her partner, Adam Pavlicek, upset the biggest servers in the world at the time, John Isner and Serena Williams, in a rowdy mixed doubles match where Lucy challenged John Isner to a dance-off on a changeover. Is that true or fault?
Jesus. I remember that match against Serena. It was like 8-6 in a tiebreak of the final set or something.
It was. Oh, that was a great match. You didn't see the changeover though. So, you know, this could happen. This could be true.
Lucy dancing on court.
Never happened before. I've never seen it, right? Never. No.
What do you mean?
No, I would say fault.
That is false. Congratulations. You win the tiebreak, Martin. Well done.
I remember being on the return against John, and I never felt further away from the ball as when he was serving.
I mean, I made all of that up, but I mean, I did not make up that you played Serena and John Isner, two of the biggest servers in the entire world. It would have been impossible to win.
Did he go full power on serve?
Sometimes, but for ace, I wouldn't even touch it. So it wouldn't bother, you know, if it's 200 or 250. It doesn't matter when you touch it.
Oh my gosh. I was going to say, what did you remember from that match? And you're going to say a lot of aces. So it's kind of boring.
Basically, I didn't make a return almost because it was so far away. At the end, I just went back, sit down on the chair and just let him ace me. Because.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. I mean, they would have won a Grand Slam for sure if they played mixed together. But, you know, she had other players that she wanted to play with. Good for her. Okay. Well, guys, well done, Martin. Big serves are behind us, but good vibes are in front of us. Let's move on to question 1 of our game and talk about Lucy's career. Lucy, this is your first question. So good luck to you. Lucy, you were a phenomenal junior player and you reached a career high of number 8 in the world during your junior career. Your junior wins were a literal who's who of WTA stars, including some of the greatest players from the past decade, Ivanovic, Kerber, Petkovic, Kirilenko. But there was one player, Lucy, that you weren't able to beat during your junior career, but you would later beat this player on the way to your first big title. So Lucy, can you name the player that you never beat in juniors, but that you defeated en route to your first WTA title?
Wow. That's a tough one.
Some players are really good. Like Pam Shriver, she can remember matches and scores for 20 years. Really? Some people, hey, I can't remember anything.
I don't even like remember those years. It's kind of.
She's retired now. She retired too soon, actually. She had a very famous brother, too.
So then it's Bydusova? No, I didn't play there.
Mikaela Krajicek.
Ah, Krajicek.
It's okay. Hey, Martin, this is looking good for you today. All right. This is.
this was a difficult one.
I wanted to say Krajicek. Why did I say Bydusova?
It's okay. Hey, I was like, oh, maybe she had a brother. I didn't know. Lucy, we just mentioned your amazing junior career. You were such a good junior. For those that aren't as familiar with your story, your father, Milan, was your first tennis coach. How old were you when you first started playing tennis?
Well, apparently I was 2.
So Leia needs to, all right, it's almost time for her. We got to keep going soon, next year.
Yeah, my dad already has a racket for her and is like waiting there eager to start.
Did your father help create your all-court game? Was this the type of game you had from juniors all the way till you were pro?
I think we develop all-court game because through the winter we play on very fast surfaces indoors, and then through the summer we always go on clay. So I think from little kids we really are able to learn quickly to change the.
You were born in Brno. At what point did you know you were good enough to really focus on tennis and make a career out of this?
I would say I always believed. And that's what also my dad always was like, did we do everything that you are becoming a pro? And I never doubted it's I wouldn't make it in tennis and I would have to do something else. It was just the tennis was my vision and I followed it. And I have to admit that I was always the first in Czech in my year, born year. And then I was right away a good junior and very early. Became like jumped into a woman tennis. So I never had like a setback where I would like ponder if I will make it or not.
Yeah. Looking back on your career, I mean, right away, in 2001, you'd start playing junior ITF events and you do really well. And then you were also playing some senior ITF events as well around the same time. What were those first years like playing the senior ITF events when you transitioned?
It's like the feeling where you have like, okay, this is serious already. You know, you go through this and then you're on your first like woman tournament and there's just like, this is it, blah, 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 let's go. Now the real thing starts.
Oh, you're so nice. Martin, I'm picturing like a very nice Lucy just getting, you know, just being very nice and polite. In your first year, Lucy, of playing full-time ITFs in 2003, you'd win that first event, as we mentioned earlier, by beating Eva Maioli at an event in Italy. Do you remember anything from that match? Was that a big confidence boost? I mean, obviously, like you said, you had no doubt you were going to be a great player, but to beat at such a young age, a French Open champion, that must have said, you know what? Now I understand by what you say, because, you know, yeah, I knew right away that there was no doubt I was going to be good. What do you remember from that match?
I actually remember the court. It was indoors. It was my big win. And yeah, all those wins that you get, it boosts your confidence and gets you even more motivated. So I remember being super happy and super motivated to climb up higher on the rankings. Yeah, she's been a great player. And
you did. I mean, you won 7 ITF singles events in your career, but it wouldn't be very long until you'd win your very first WTA event. Can we talk quickly about your first title in Estoril? You beat the legend Lina in the 2005 final. Did an event like that surprise you, winning so early? You did it so early in your career. Was that something? Was just trajectory just like you're playing well and you expected it? Or was that kind of a surprise to you?
I lost in the qualifying there and then got in as a lucky loser.
Yes. That's amazing.
And then I had a really good run and I was alone on the tournament there. So it was kind of weird because winning my first title, being alone there.
That's not the first time you'd be a lucky loser. I mean, what a great moment. I mean, you just, yeah. Hey, let's just go for it, right? Oh man. You'd win 2 titles in 2005 and you'd quickly move up the WTA rankings. So Martin, let's go to question number 2. And find out how Lucy became one of the best singles players in the world. Here's your first question. Martin, as a player, Lucy reached number 5 in the world. and she was no stranger to big wins. In fact, she has wins against 14 players that have achieved the number one ranking at some point in her career. So it got me wondering, which of those former 14 number ones has Lucy beaten the most throughout her career? You're my friend, so I'll give you multiple choice. Don't worry. Is it A, Caroline Wozniacki, B, Anna Ivanovich, C, Maria Sharapova, D, Angelique Kerber, or E, Dinara Safina? Which of those players did Lucy beat the most times in her career?
You would know.
I'm hesitant there.
She's like, I beat them all. I beat all of them.
I wouldn't go for Wozniacki. I wouldn't go for Safina. I'm actually between, it's going to be surprising. So I'm between Sharapova and Azarenka. Did you say Azarenka or not?
I didn't even say Azarenka, but you know, maybe. I love it. I love that he's just like, it's Azarenka.
No, actually, she was the first one on my mind because I remember Lucy beat her in the final of Qatar, I think it was.
Yeah, in Doha, for sure.
So, yeah. So, who are the others?
We eliminated Wozniacki. So, Ivanovic, Sharapova, Kerber, or Safina?
I'm between Ivanovic and Sharapova. So, let's go for... And Ivanovic she beat even in Fed Cup, in Roland Garros. So, I'm going for Ivanovic.
Okay. Martin says Ivanovic. Lucy, what do you think?
I think Ivanovic.
I think Ivanovic too. Well done. You're showing up today, Martin. You're ready with Lucy Trivia. I love it. Well done. 6 wins against Anna in your career. 3 of those 9 matches were at the French Open. I mean, crazy. That's so strange. She was such a good matchup for you, Lucy. You won almost 500 singles matches in your career. Who were those players that your game did not really match up well against? Were there 1 or 2 players in the draw?
Monica
Niculescu. Who wants to play Niculescu? No one wants to play Niculescu. No, no, I know. that's a good one. All right, good to know. I think most people still say her or Sue. You know, those game styles are so crazy, right? I love that.
Yeah.
But, you know, many players would say, for example, Agnieszka Radwańska, but then Lucy came against Agnieszka Radwańska and it was boom, boom, boom.
I always like
ciao.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so strange how sometimes you match up, you know? It's just how tennis works that way. Obviously, Serena stood in your way 10 times. We're going to talk about her in a second. Was there a player that you liked to play? Was there someone that you looked at the draw and said, oh, I hope she's near me? Obviously, Radwanska, well, maybe.
If we say from the top players, then it would be Aga. Yeah, Radwanska. And then I remember I didn't like to play from the top players. I didn't like to play Nadia Petrova. I think a very bad score against her. And obviously, Petra Kvitova.
And Petra, yeah, we'll talk about that in a second too.
But if you say about style, where I was losing against a player really easy, then it was Niculescu. Because with Petra, we had always 3 setters, although I always came short, but we had always very tight matches.
So tight. Oh, I can't wait to talk about that. We said earlier that you'd win your first 2 titles in 2005, but I'd love to talk about some of your big events from over the years. So let's skip forward to 2007 for a quick moment. You started that year by upsetting the defending champion and then world number 3, Amélie Mauresmo, to make your first Grand Slam quarterfinal at the Australian Open, where you'd play fellow Czech Nicole Vitasova. What do you remember from either of those 2 big matches? They were both very important matches for different reasons.
Well, to beat Amélie on a Grand Slam, on a big center court, it was like one of the best moments like that a young player can have, you know, all the crowds, the player and everything. And so it was amazing achievement for me. And then again, to face someone who you really know in the next round, it's a little bit different feeling on the court. But Nicole at that time was playing amazing and was just a better player on the court at that moment.
But what a great accomplishment to make your first Grand Slam quarterfinal. It helped your ranking go from 70 to 31 in the world at that time. It was a huge jump for you. And just a few tournaments later, you would defeat 3 top 10 players in a row for the first time in your career to make the finals of the Paris Indoor. So amazing. It was a huge event for you. You got revenge against Vitasova. You beat her in Paris. Then Kuznetsova and Justine Henin, who was number two in the world at that point.
I think she lost only three or four matches that year, and I was one of those.
It really helped you to establish Lucy as one of the best players in the world at that time. Beating Justine, what an accomplishment. What a legend too. Was that a big match for you? Obviously, you're playing very well from Australia.
I always like to play indoors. So for me, Paris tournament was a really good event. And yeah, that run to beat the top 10 players like in a row, that's already like special. And you know, I liked Kim as a player, but Justine was also amazing. And I really enjoyed watching her like style of game. So it was a pleasure to beat her.
Martin, I wondered, you know, from as a sports journalist, what do you think it was about Lucy's game from 2003-04-05 to 2007 that really transformed to make her such a top singles player at that time? What did she develop in your perspective?
It's a self-confidence. And that's what happened years later when she started with Rob. And she was always like 20, 25, 30. And then I think from what I see, it was Rob who gave her this like self-confidence and you can do it and you can win it. So I would go for self-confidence.
When you're beating players like that in a row, I mean, obviously the confidence is coming. You'd continue to be successful over the years, Lucy, and you'd end up winning seven WTA titles and making the final of 10 other tournaments, which is absolutely amazing. Your biggest title would be a premier title in Doha in 2015, beating my good friend Vika Azarenka in the final. Definitely the biggest title of your career. Vika was playing so well during that event as well. You played so fantastic, Lucy, throughout the event. I think you lost just one set in Doha. It was amazing on the way to that title. I've never won a premier title, but when a player wins a big title like that, what does that do for you afterwards?
I would go a little bit back here because with Rob, as you said, we had the great first year, and then we really wanted to reach the top 10, and we had a really good off season practicing super hard. I gave it all, and then I came to Australia and I lost first round in singles, and I was destroyed. You know, giving it all that hard work, and then I lost in the first round. And we won the doubles with Bethany, and it was my first Grand Slam title in doubles, and it was so special. And there I like got my mood back, and the next tournament was Doha, and I really transformed all that self-confidence from the doubles and all the mood on the court there, and I was just feeling amazing, and everything clicked together for me, and I won that title there. And that trophy is very special, a gold bird. It's like there at home, and it sticks out from all the others.
I rewatched that match just to prep for today, and your face that you make when you win a match point, it was just so saint-like, right? We'll say Saint Luke. It was just so happy, so excited. It did seem like exactly what you said, all the hard work you had done finally paid off, and you are among the best players in the world. So it was really great. Such a huge fan. 2015 was by far your most successful season. You'd continue to play well after Doha, and it would be the French Open that would be the event that would forever be attached to your legacy. So let's go to question three, and it will be about your most successful tournament, the French Open.
I'm ready.
It'll either be easy or hard. We'll see. The French Open would be so lucky for you, Lucy, that you would even play your very first French Open as a lucky loser, making it into the draw at the very last moment in 2005. Can you remember the name of the player that you lost to in the last round of qualifying at the 2005 French Open?
Oh my God. I know I was playing on the court behind the Susan Langland.
It wasn't Susan Langland. No.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. Yes. I was like, that. You're cold. No. It wasn't that far ago. Well, I will say, I'll give you a hint because I really like you. You ended up playing her later at the French Open years later and beating her.
Wow. See how bad I am.
It's okay. Not some. You focused on other things. You know, that's okay. I wonder, Martin, do you know this? No.
No.
Yeah, not even close. I'm a weird like WTA savant. Like I know all these weird facts and weird things. It's kind of useless sometimes. But you want to give it a guess? She was German. I'm giving you so many hints because I love it.
So I'm going for, You want to know my pick?
Tell me your pick.
My pick is Sabine Lisicki.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good one. You did beat her at the French Open, so.
Yeah, but I don't think it was her.
It was. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Sandra Klossel.
Correct.
Okay, there we go. Where's Sandra Klossel today? She got to 87 in the world, so good for her. I mean, bravo to fantastisch to Sandra Klossel. Like I said, you did beat her in 2008 later on, so you did get the revenge. I want to talk about some of your greatest Grand Slam victories, Lucy. We must start at the French Open. In 2015, you'd won Doha and your clay season was just okay. It was just okay in 2015. You made the quarters in Madrid, but after your first premier title, everyone was looking at you from your Doha run. So you go to the French Open, you're seeded 13, and one by one, you start playing so well. You start with Anastasia Pavluchenkova in the first round. You're good friends, yeah. Former doubles partners as well. You'd win two big doubles events with her in Madrid and in Charleston. I guess we already know what it's like. You've already said what it's like to play Bethany. So it's not fun to play your friend. Was that a tough match for you too? It's that matchup. She's such a great player.
It's always the worst what you can have to face your friend in the first round of a Grand Slam, because the worst thing that can happen to a tennis player is to lose first round of a Grand Slam. But I remember that I took Anastasia after for a dinner and a movie and, to the sweet spot La Durée for the macaroons that she loved, and we were okay after.
St. Lucie, right, Martin? St. Lucie, there we go. You'd beat Kurumi Nara in the second, and then the dangerous Sabine Lisicki, who was the 20th seed in her prime in the third round, to set up, in my opinion, the best match of your career. Now we get to the fourth round, and it was a huge match against defending champion Maria Sharapova. Walk us through that match. What do you remember from that match with Sharapova?
Well, Maria is a legend. So play her for me. It was always a huge challenge, and I was always super excited to play her. Because I always liked that challenge to beat such a player. So, and with Maria, I felt like, of course, with Serena, we had also like tight matches, but I never could make the last point there and to win. But with Maria, I felt like I have a shot and I can do this. I had more confidence with her. And, it was just to play on the center court, Paris. I was playing great, feeling great. So I just stepped on the court and I was ready for every ball there. And I just really enjoyed that match. And to win it, of course, wow, was amazing.
Do you think that was your best match of your career?
Best match? It's hard to pick one, but I think that 2 weeks was the best tennis I played. Oh, we have a visitor here.
Oh, yay. Hello. We're almost done. I know she wants her mommy. Oh, my goodness. You guys can't see this angelic. Speaking of Saint, we have Saint Leah on the call right now. Hello, Leah. Oh, my gosh.
Hi.
Hi, Leah. Your mommy is a legend. You need to know that right away at a very early age. It's very important to know that. Oh, wow. I want to go on to the Anna match real quick. I remember the crowd loved Anna so much and the crowd loved you. And it was the first time Ivanovic had done well since her French Open. Obviously you'd played her as well many times before. Do you remember anything from that match? Was that you had just beaten her. So maybe the experience helped you from beating her at the French?
Of course. I felt like I've beaten Anna, and I was actually the most nervous in that match from the event. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's good sound effects. Almost done, Leah. Don't worry. I promise.
Because I felt like I can do this, and still I was there. I was just feeling tight, and I remember I had when I was closing the match, I did two double faults, and I was like, I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I don't know if I can do this. But then I did. And yeah, that feeling, I just dropped to the clay. And I know that some, it wasn't you, Martin, but someone was like, why the dirt is on your, all over your back. And I'm like, at that moment, you don't care at all.
Exactly. You're in the French Open final. You'd make your first Grand Slam final, becoming the first Czech woman since Hanna Menlikova to make it that far. And now you're playing the number one player in the world, the defending US Open and Australian Open champion, the greatest player of all time, Serena Williams. And at that point, you're 0-8 against Serena. So it's not a good matchup for you, but who cares? You're in the final, right?
Yep.
Can you walk everyone through what's the strategy of playing Serena Williams in the final of a Grand Slam? What possibly is the strategy?
First of all, it was tons of emotions because obviously every tennis player wants to be in a final of a Grand Slam. And I think if you're there for the first time, it's just, you know, a dream come true, but also you still want to get that trophy, you want to win. But then you have so many emotions coming your way. And I remember I couldn't sleep because I was so excited. And it's even like, remember walking on the court and I really enjoyed that final. But I think if I would be able to take back that moment, I would try to let go of all the emotions and just really be there and push that match a little more.
I mean, you played so great winning that second set. Do you feel like, looking back when you say what you're saying, is that third set, do you feel like you were a little tight and just... You could have played better.
Stepped up the level, so that definitely she was playing well. But at that time, when I was leading 2-0 in the third set, I think she felt like, okay, now I have to step up, and she really did. And she served amazing. But what I would like do a little different, if I could come back to that moment, I would just risk it more. I feel I just let her, you know, step up, and I could do a little more or risk it a little more. And I just let her, you know, play her game instead of trying maybe to break it a little bit. But at that time, it was like too many emotions, and I obviously was trying my best, but she was just with all that experience that she had, it's very different, I think, to be in a finals where you have the experience already before.
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. Well, your name is forever attached to the French Open, so Leah is going to be very proud one day. I just, before we move on from singles and the very last question, I want to talk about, you also made an epic run to the 2014 Wimbledon semifinals. We can't gloss over that. I mean, what an accomplishment to get to the Wimbledon semifinals. I know you'd play your friend Petra Kvitova in that match as well. Yeah, what a champion she is. What an amazing run. I mean, was it a different experience from that Wimbledon semifinal to the French? There's so much tradition at Wimbledon. Did it feel different?
It felt very different because what I felt the most different from all of the events I've experienced in tennis is how the fans are silent. Because, you know, Australia is very energetic, and even the French, they have their, like, you know, the songs there, and also, like, it's more noisy. But then you come to Wimbledon center court, and I remember when I was, you know, bouncing the ball before the serve, I couldn't hear anything. And it was so quiet that it even, like, you know, it made me stop for a while, how like unique moment it was.
Amazing. Well, a place you weren't very nervous was on the doubles court. So we're going to wrap up today with Lucy's doubles career. Martin, this one is for you, and it's for the win today. Okay. So good luck to you. As I mentioned at the top of the show, on August 21st, 2017, Lucy Safarova became the number one doubles player in the world. She would be number one until this player, with strong Czech roots, took over as number one before retiring at the very end of 2017. Who was that player, Martin?
Who took over?
Retired in 2017. Number one in doubles. Lucy played her so many times too. Some great matches.
Retired in 2017. It's not that long time ago.
Leia's almost due for her nap, Martin.
No. This is not even the difficult one, or shouldn't be.
So it's pretty, I mean, she's pretty famous. So there's your last hint. Yeah. All right, I'm calling it. I'm giving it to you. Do you know who it was, Lucy?
I'm not sure.
This is so difficult today. It's Martina Hingis. Martina Hingis. Hingisova.
She would never come on my mind.
I know. There you go. If we're going to talk about doubles, we have to talk about Martina Hingis a little bit. The absolute, one of the best doubles players of all time, too. You played Hingis a few times that final year, actually, getting a big win in the semifinals of the 2017 French Open.
Playing her and Sanya was always like the challenge, because we were like fighting for, obviously winning a lot of tournaments.
But I was going to ask you, it's so great. I mean, who would you say is the best doubles player you ever played against?
I ever played against? Well, Martina would be high on the list, I would say.
Definitely, for sure. Can we talk about you getting to number one for a moment before we wrapped up today? We talked about your career for about an hour or so, but how hard it was to get to number one, and you did it. And when you saw number one next to your name, Lucy, was that a special moment for you?
Very, of course.
You remember that moment? How did you celebrate?
We celebrated in New York with my family. I remember when I came back, they had a cake for me ready, and it was nice.
We had Pam Shriver on the show this past week. She's half of the most decorated doubles team in the Open era with 20 Grand Slams. But you and Bethany are tied for fifth overall with Arani and Vinci with all of your Grand Slams. Pam told us a story of how she and Martina started playing together. I'd love for everyone to hear how you and Bethany met each other and decided to start playing together.
It was actually funny because I was looking for a doubles partner, and Rob, my coach, he knew Justin and Bethany really well. I knew them too, but we were not so close friends at that time. And he was like, "Yeah, Bethany's coming back after injury. Let's try to message them." And basically, Justin and Rob set us up, and then Rob came back to me and he's like, "So you play in Melbourne with her, but not in Sydney." And I was like, "Why not in Sydney? We got to try before the Grand Slam." And he's like, "Yeah, she said with Sanya Mirza in Sydney already." And I was like, "Well, we don't even get a prep tournament." Then we talked to them about it, and they were like, "Oh, that's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. We will do well." And then we started, and then we were like, "Do you want to play the forehand side?" And we switched, and I played the backhand side. And
oh my gosh, like a first date. You guys were just dancing around. I love it. I love it, Martina. It's just like us and our tournaments. You know, just playing. That's how we do it too. You know, which side do you want to play?
Yeah. And then we switch after the first set, and then
after
we
one set
again.
Oh, that didn't go so well, we lost. Oh man. You'd win 5 Grand Slams together, 11 titles total as a team. For newer fans of the sport, what was it about, maybe Martin, what do you think, what was it about Maddox Sands and Safarova that made them such a powerful doubles team?
Well, I never saw them being serious on court, but I mean like serious, like met at each other, like there was a chemistry. And they were laughing and losing, winning, whatever, still in a good mood. I think that's it. That's pretty important. Yeah.
So relaxed, right? Was it true, Lucy, that you would always drink Earl Grey tea before your matches? Did you drink Earl? Did you drink a lot of tea?
We started that in Melbourne, and it became our tradition throughout the time we were playing. And we just like had to have our tea before the match.
It's so demanding. Where's my tea? Where is my tea? Where's my effing tea? Oh man. Oh, I will ask, of the 5 slams that you won with Bethany, is there one that was maybe a little more important to you that stands out?
Always the first one will be like the first one. So maybe a slightly bit, but honestly, if you win a Grand Slam and it's the first time in Paris, and especially like after such a huge run, and then US Open was very special too, because for Bethany to play on the home ground, and it was 9/11 as well, so all of them are special. It's hard to pick one.
Your partnership, it's such a great yin and yang. I mean, over all the teams that have played in the Open era, I mean, you're definitely up there. It's such a special partnership. People miss you guys. We did get a lot of questions about your partnership from fans from all over the world. You guys were so popular. One fan, Tim House in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, asks, was there anything crazy that Bethany tried to get you to wear that you said no to?
I tried the high socks. But it didn't go.
How did the choreography start with you two? Was it you or was it Bethany that came up with all the choreo?
Mostly. Well, it came from Shanti. He was a good friend of hers, of ours then. And so he came up with our dance in Australia that was super special. And we just liked to have fun, and dancing was part of it. So,
Martin, I felt like we should have been more prepared today. We should have had a Bethany and Lucy choreographed dance. I felt like maybe next time, next year.
We did the hands one in London when she got her injury, when she got that bad knee injury, that was super, super sad. And we at least got the hand dance.
Great partnership. One of the best of all time. The end of your career didn't go really the way as you planned, Lucy. You had a terrible autoimmune bacteria that sidelined you in 2016. And then the reactive arthritis that caused several joint and swelling injuries. If it weren't for the injuries, do you think you would have played a little bit longer?
It's hard to say now. With all of that, it was hard for me to come back to play at the top level, top of mm-hmm. my tennis. So that was the big reason why I decided to finish my career. Yeah. But it was 15 years. And, you know, if there was anything that I could say I didn't accomplish, it would be probably the Wimbledon doubles title. But besides that, I had a great career, so I have no regrets. And I felt it's the time, and I'm happy with my life as it's now. I have great memories. I like to watch tennis. I like to play tennis. I still love the sport, but I'm happy the way I am now.
That makes me feel so good as a fan and as somebody who's appreciated what you've done for the tennis world and for
and
everybody,
I appreciate
really.
All those great fans, because it must be so hard now for all the athletes, not only in tennis, to not have the fans out there, because you guys make it so special. And without you, it's a great game, but it's very sad.
Yeah, I know. It's been a rough year. Your farewell, Lucy, at the 2019 French Open was so very, very sweet. How did you come to partner with Dominika Szybulková? It was also her very last match of her career too. What an event. I mean, to have two great legends like you both to go out. I mean, did you know about that?
I knew that she's also at a point where she's thinking about retiring or having a baby. So we talked about it a little bit, and I wanted to play there, and I wanted to play with someone that I'm friends with, that I like have fun on the court for my last event. So it was nice to have her.
Good vibes, right? Good vibes to go out. The way you came in is the way you came out. Well, that was amazing. What a great story. Thank you so much. Martin, congratulations. You're the winner today. A fan versus favorite. You beat Lucy Safarova at something. That's amazing. You can't beat her on the tennis court, but there we go.
Yeah, you got it right. At least at something.
So amazing. We always end the show with a question from your biggest fan, and that's Martin today. Martin, please take us home.
I have one. We discussed it like years ago. So my question is if she's still going to be my bridesmaid.
Whoa, what an announcement. Wow. Here. Wow. Oh man, well, on the spot.
Yes.
We'll see. Oh, it's a yes.
It's like, will you marry me?
Wow, what a great way to end today. What a fun hour. Oh my gosh, guys. I want to thank my guests for joining us today. We got a yes. We learned so much. You can find Martin on Instagram and Twitter at Martin Morovic. Thank you, my friend. So great to talk to you and to catch up today.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
I'm going to do a trip to Prague when the world opens up and heals again. We're going to see each other. Drinks on me.
Welcome.
Drinks on me. Our guest today can be found on Instagram at lucy.safarova or on Twitter at lucysafarova. You can also check out her updated website, lucy-safarova.com, with a ton of updates and articles. I can't thank you enough, Lucy. It's always so great to see your smile. We have to make this an annual event because there's still so much more to talk about. Your career is amazing. And while you're on Instagram, shoot me a DM at John Garriga and let me know who you're a big fan of and who you'd like to see on an upcoming show. Also, don't forget to follow us at Fantastic Tennis Pod or on Twitter at FanTennisPod. My name is John Garriga, and thank you for listening. This has been Fantastic.